This is Ozarks at Large. There have been plenty of developments in the Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar saga. Calls for his impeachment and calls for his resignation. He did actually resign late Friday night. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sat down with former Lieutenant Governor Chief of Staff Michael Cook, who once worked for Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter and now blogs for TalkBusiness.net to learn more.
First of all, let's talk about what he said in his resignation letter. Took a shot at the governor, a veiled shot at the governor.
Yeah, took a shot at the governor. Basically, he stumbled off the stage without much graciousness. He took a shot at the governor and some other folks, didn't really accept too much responsibility to say he made mistakes and didn't have malicious intent. This whole affair has been just one big mess in terms of, he started off the week saying, I'm putting a stake in the ground, I'm not leaving. In the end, Friday night at 5, 6 o'clock, he says, oh yeah, by the way, I'm resigning.
Yeah.
So it just sort of stumbled and bumbled, just sort of like how he has through this whole affair.
What do you think, that he just finally accepted and acknowledged the political pressure from all of the Republicans calling for his resignation, much less the Democrats that have been calling for his resignation?
I think it was two things. One was good old-fashioned money. One thing I wasn't even aware of until this whole thing came about, if he was convicted by the state Senate, he was probably
in an impeachment trial.
Mm-hmm. He would have to probably pay about $50,000 for the cost. So that in of itself was number one. But then number two, he really had no allies. I mean, the entire federal Republican delegation said, please resign. A lot of other state legislatures said, it's time to go. He really had no real significant base of support. And I think by the end of the week, he saw, he knew he was going to get impeached. So it just might as well leave because it's coming down.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the timetable now and just a little bit of context. I'm going to go deep in the weeds on a few things here. He says he's going to resign on February 1st.
Right.
That's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Conceivably, the governor doesn't get that letter until Monday morning, February 3rd. The governor is required by law to, within 10 days, set the dates for a special election. So there is time with the legislature convening on February 10th, 7 days into that 10-day period, for them to actually change the law, if they want to not require a special election.
Yeah, it could be a big mess. I mean, first of all, I personally don't think there should be a special election. Mm-hmm. I support John Burkholder for lieutenant governor. I make no bones about it. But the bottom line is, I don't think it's worth the expense of having a special election for an office. The term was going to end anyway in January. Yeah. Lieutenant governor office has no real authority. And then third, Michael Lamoureux, the president pro tem, he would next in line in succession. Mm-hmm. Heaven forbid something happens to Governor Beebe, he'd be fine for the next remainder of the term. He's a competent, well-regarded, well-respected legislator. So I don't think we need to spend the money.
Yeah. So, and if that is truly what the legislative intent may be in terms of walking through that scenario that I outlined there, then they do escape having to have that special election.
Right.
Do you think there's any potential political fallout for that? Do you think the people across the state of Arkansas say, no, we should have a lieutenant governor, somebody that should be governor by election if something should happen?
I don't think so. I mean, we had the sad tragedy in 2006 when then Lieutenant Governor Win Rockefeller passed away in July. Everybody decided let's just leave it open for 6 months. Nobody in the state decried we must have an election. I think the people are fine, especially when you tell them we can save $1 million or we can spend the money for this office that really has no power unless the governor vacates the office.
It's the second reference you've made to this office has no power.
You served as the chief of staff of this office. It's an office of what you make. I mean, when Bill Halter was lieutenant governor, his big goal, and he got it accomplished, was the Arkansas Lottery. That was a monumental, almost a sea change to, the higher education. But beyond that, your job is to, if the governor vacates the office through death or resignation or what have you, you become governor. Whenever he's out of state, you're the governor, and you preside over the state Senate. So the actual formal duties are small, but you can make a lot out of it.
Well, should we have a lieutenant governor? Then there's been arguments that have been made that we shouldn't have a lieutenant governor, that the Senate president could serve in that capacity, or governors could run on a ticket with a lieutenant governor of some sort, which we're seeing Mike Ross and John Burkholder at least try to pair.
For me, I think the bottom line is you have to have a lieutenant governor who is elected by the people. In some states they run as a ticket where the gubernatorial nominee picks his own lieutenant governor, his or her own nominee for lieutenant governor. Or we have places like Arkansas where they run separate. I don't like the idea of a president pro tem automatically becoming governor for a full term, because that person is only elected by
75,000 people or something like that. What's the...
Well, no, not even that. I mean, be, you know, as a president pro term, you're elected by your colleagues
in
the Senate. So basically, 17, 16 people can determine who the next governor is. I don't think that's very democratic. So I still like the idea of having a lieutenant governor elected by the people.
So does Mark Dar, with this resignation and leaving office, does he still become a weapon that Democrats can use against Republicans?
How does
it play out now in terms of the political ramifications
of
this?
Well, I think, number one, this whole affair pretty much guarantees John Burkhalter as our next lieutenant governor.
Now, how's that?
For two reasons. First of all, Burkhalter has never been elected to office. He's a businessman. Mm-hmm. Whoever his opponent is, whether it's Charlie Collins or Andy Mayberry, both are elected officials. So Burkhalter gets to paint these guys, you know, we need to elect a businessman to this office. We need to get rid of these politicians and bring integrity back to the office. So he's got that mantle that he can wear, and the other two guys are, well, I worked in the state legislature, I'm part of the political process, number one. Number two, it's kind of like the same problem that Democrats are having in the treasurer's race, in that maybe voters says, well, we had a Democrat this time, maybe we give it to a Republican next time. Could be the same thing with lieutenant governor. Well, we gave it to a Republican, he mucked it all up, so let's give the Democrat a try.
Do you think it might not be, though, that you've got the voting electorate who thinks to themselves, they don't really distinguish between the Democrat and the Republican. Mm-hmm. They're just, if they're elected, they're bad, or we have a bad feeling about them, and maybe just a whole throw the bums out mentality, or I mean, could that be at work or at play too?
It could be, but you know, Democrats will be, you know, in terms of the lieutenant governor's race, will be making a point of let's restore integrity and honor to the race for lieutenant governor. And there's also potential, and I say potential, that it could wash over slightly, at least into the governor's race, in that, well, if I'm going to vote for the Democrat for lieutenant governor, I might as well vote for the same as governor. I do think the biggest impact will be in the lieutenant governor's race, maybe a slight potential for governor.
Yeah, well, that kind of bucks your previous philosophical position on the fact that Arkansas voters are very independent.
We're independent, but, you know, you never know. In terms of, you know, what we want to do, we are a quirky electorate. In terms of what we do all from one election, even sometimes in the same election. I mean, this is the state in 2012, we voted heavily against Barack Obama, but then came within a few thousand votes of legalizing medical marijuana. So, I mean, that's a classic example of two completely different positions, seemingly.
That was Michael Cook, former Lieutenant Governor Chief of Staff and TalkBusiness.net blogger, speaking with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at mitchellwilliamslaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com.